From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. And on this day, Governor Paula Pace says a Supreme Court justice has broken a promise to retire early. Critics say proposed new short-term health insurance rules are yet another way to chip away at the Affordable Care Act. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
Governor Paula Page is publicly questioning the character of Maine Supreme Court Justice Joseph Jaber. LePage says Jaber went back on a personal promise to retire before the end of his 7-year term if LePage agreed to reappoint him. Mal Leary has our report.
LePage released a letter he sent last week to Jaber and the entire Supreme Court, questioning the judge's honesty and character. LePage says he met with Jaber 2 years ago, and he told him he was not planning to reappoint him to the court. He says Jaber asked he be reappointed so he could maximize his retirement and promised to resign early after he completed 20 years as a judge. LePage says he was reluctant to even meet with Jaber.
I was advised not to talk to him, not to meet with him, just to do the job, just not reappoint him and not make, because there was some reason to believe that he wouldn't live up to his word.
But LePage says he did agree to reappoint Jaber and was floored when Jaber chose not to step down from the court.
His word is no good. He is a sitting justice, and he will continue to sit there unless he leaves on his own, because I've appointed him. But I think it's important that the Maine people know what they have for a Supreme Court justice.
LePage's letter surprised lawmakers, including Portland Democrat Matt Moonen, who serves as House co-chair of the Judiciary Committee, that unanimously recommended Jaber's confirmation last year. He says the panel was never told of any deal between the governor and Jaber.
When this nomination came before our committee, we were under the impression, as we are with all nominations, that this was for a 7-year term and that the nominee intended to serve the 7-year term. I never heard anything about it during the process, never heard anything until this moment.
Moonen says the governor's criticism of a sitting justice is a blow aimed at the credibility of the courts in the eyes of the public. House Speaker Sarah Gideon, a Democrat from Freeport, called the release of the letter deeply troubling. In a statement, she said that the judiciary must remain, quote, independent and immune from pressure such as the governor's letter. The chair of the governor's Judicial Selection Committee, Attorney Josh Tardy, says he was aware of the meeting between the governor and Jaber, but that he was not present at it.
His record on judicial appointments speaks for itself, and I think if obviously this is a matter that he finds significant enough so that the press is now involved.
University of Maine Law School professor Dimitri Baum says that while it may be unusual for a governor and a judicial nominee to have some sort of retirement agreement, it is not enforceable as the state constitution provides for a 7-year term. He says he's less bothered by the agreement than he is by the letter sent to Jaber and to all of the sitting justices of the state Supreme Court.
You might have litigants who are at the court who might say, well, I'm not sure about this judge's honesty or integrity. And to a large extent, the judiciary depends on that kind of public confidence.
Baum says the letter could be seen as undercutting public faith in the courts. Through a spokeswoman, both Jaber and Chief Justice Lee Sofley declined comment on the governor's letter. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Deary.
It could soon be easier to get short-term health insurance under proposed rules released by the Trump administration today. The administration says short-term plans are an affordable alternative to plans offered on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. But healthcare advocates say the cheaper options actually come at a cost. Patty White reports.
When you're in between jobs or unexpectedly lose health coverage for some other reason, short-term health insurance is designed to be used as a stopgap. The plans offer coverage for 3 months at a time, but the Trump administration wants to extend that period to nearly 1 year. Trish Riley, the director of the National Academy for State Health Policy, says it's an attempt to create a lower-cost product in the marketplace.
But they're products that will offer significantly less for that lower cost.
Because these short-term plans eliminate many of the Affordable Care Act's consumer protections. They don't have to cover essential health benefits like maternity care or mental health and substance use disorder treatment. They can exclude people with pre-existing conditions. And, says Riley, they can impose lifetime cost limits.
If you have a lifetime limit on a plan and you get a significant diagnosis of cancer or some horrible disease that's very costly or need a drug that's very, very costly, you may not have it covered.
The plans could also cause problems for people who don't buy them, says Mitchell Stein, an independent health policy consultant.
These plans are going to be attractive to healthy people who have less claims and take them out of the ACA plans. By doing so, it means the people remaining in the ACA plans will be less healthy, have greater claims, and so those premiums will continue to rise at a large rate.
Stein says it's another attempt, like the elimination of the individual mandate, to undermine the ACA. In a statement about the proposed rules, the head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Seema Verma, says allowing short-term insurance to cover longer periods, quote, gives Americans options and could be the difference between someone getting coverage or going without coverage at all. The public has 60 days to comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The chief of the Maine State Police is leaving that post next month to take a job as director of security at Colby College in Waterville. Abukar Adan has more.
Colonel Robert Williams has led the Maine State Police for nearly 7 years, but his career in law enforcement spans more than three decades. A native of central Maine, Williams began as a state trooper in 1983 and rose through the ranks until being named colonel in 2011 by Governor Paul LePage. At Colby, Williams will lead a staff of 40 employees and manage and administer safety programming, facility security, compliance, training, emergency preparedness, and critical incident management. He will start his new job on March 12th. For Maine Public Radio News, I am Abukar Adan.
The North Atlantic right whale is the most endangered large whale species on Earth. The principal cause of right whale fatalities is entanglements with fishing gear, including lobster trap lines. Scientists at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution say new technology could stop these ensnarements, but some lobstermen say the cost of adopting the new gear would be prohibitive. A.J. Higgins has more.
Woods Hole director Michael Moore says the right whale is really in trouble and something has to be done to stop entanglements.
It's only going to get worse. If the right whale trajectory continues, the breeding females are going to be gone in 20 years. There's only about 100 of them left right now, and we're losing about four every year. So as the public becomes more aware of the problem, the call for a more draconian process is only going to get worse.
At least 18 North Atlantic right whales were found dead last year, including 12 in Canadian waters that showed evidence of blunt force trauma from ships or fishing gear. Moore says new lobster fishing technology could eliminate the need for ropes that connect traps on the ocean floor with buoys at the surface. He says instead, traps can be equipped with remote control flotation devices that could be inflated to bring the traps to the water's surface. Moore acknowledges that while the ropeless traps would be initially expensive, the price would drop over time and would be preferable to closing lobster fishing grounds to protect the whales. But Dave Cousins, president of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, says ropeless trap prototypes cost thousands of dollars per trap, and he doesn't envision Maine lobstermen going tetherless anytime soon.
We would have to probably fish no more than 50 traps, and I think that would cost you still over $100,000 to rig them to do it, because it's just crazy. It's not even sensible. So we understand something is going to happen, but ropeless fishing is not it.
Cousins says an equipment failure with the ropeless system would leave traps on the bottom without any means of retrieving them. Officials at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration are reviewing the status of ropeless traps and could recommend the use of the technology to improve the prospects for right whales. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
The Maine Renewable Energy Association is asking a judge to remedy what it calls Governor Paula Page's unconstitutional executive overreach in his recent executive order on wind power. The January 24th order directs that no permits related to wind turbines are issued in certain areas of the state until after a Wind Energy Advisory Commission meets to decide whether they can proceed. It also stipulates that the commission meet in private. Jeremy Payne, the association's executive director, says he hopes the lawsuit filed Tuesday will prompt a quick response.
You know, the governor is very fond of talking about investment capital goes where it's welcome and stays where it's appreciated. And I would argue that this executive order sends a message that it is neither welcome nor appreciated. And candidly, if the executive order is allowed to stand, then we might as well all just march down to the southern border of the state and remove the open for business sign, because this executive order is very anti-business.
Existing law already governs wind permitting in the state, and Payne says the governor has no executive authority to arbitrarily decide which industry permit applications are granted a comprehensive regulatory review. Leading Ellsworth businesswoman and longtime First Amendment advocate Helen Duttman has died. The Bangor Daily News reports that Duttman died at the Parker Ridge Retirement Community on Monday. She was 93. Duttman, who served on the Maine Public Board of Trustees, owned three radio stations in Ellsworth and Bangor. She worked for many years at Post Newsweek stations in Washington, D.C., and as executive women's editor of the Washington Post. Last August, her husband of 69 years, journalist Richard Duttman, died at age 99. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Thanks to Susan Sharon, Keith Shortall, and our digital team. I'm Ed Morin.